And up next on the stream of Free Radio Santa Cruz at freakradio.org, it's the November 14th, 2019 edition of Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides. We may be going for 3 hours tonight because actually the show that follows mine, which used to be Uncle Dennis's before he died, we now have, I believe it's being going to be the Alicia Cool Show, which I'm not sure what she's going to name it. She has been a Free Radio Collective member for a number of months now, but has been preoccupied with her own life struggles, plus the homeless activists struggle to keep folks from freezing and suffering various kinds of injustices outside, plus surviving herself in a vehicle. And she's been, recently occupied with the Phoenix Camp, previously known as, it's on the site of the old Ross Camp behind Ross Dress for Less near Highway 1 and River Street, now being organized by the Santa Cruz Union of the Homeless, Food Not Bombs, and other volunteer groups, as well as, of course, of the homeless folks themselves who are out there. And she's going to be doing a regular show, I believe, or at least that's what she hopes to do. She's also doing a regular show on KSCO, the right-wing AM radio station, which is impressive for me. I'm occasional associate of, that's not perhaps the right word, I know Mike Zwirling, who runs the station. He's had me on the air occasionally, often, he has a serious interest in homelessness, and he started a particular program with Alicia Cool, which he ran this afternoon, starting at 3 o'clock. I guess it's going to be every Thursday from 3 to 5, for those of you who are interested. And I believe, what I'm going to try to do today is I'm going to play, it's only an hour long today because I think Alicia's exhausted from working at the, helping to keep the Phoenix camp supplied and making sure things are going well. Porta potties have been put in, trash pickups, I'm not quite sure where that's at. All kinds of supplies are needed out there for those who are interested, go out and help. But she's doing an hour show anyway on AM radio, and I'm going to be playing that broadcast later. So that's going to begin probably at 8 o'clock as you listen to the show, if you're listening to it on Thursday, November 14th. You're also going to be hearing a lot of stuff from the Phoenix camp, which I have taken to calling myself the Desiree Quintero Memorial Survival Camp. But the longer name, I believe it's something like the Phoenix Camp in Memory of Desiree Quintero, something like that, which the Union of the Homeless is picked up from what the residents have decided to call it. So let's jump into the show, and you'll hear, lots of interviews and some actually descriptions of what's happening. There was a front-page story in today's Sentinel by Jessica York, which chronicles the city's fumbling efforts to discredit the camp and to shut it down. But so far, they have not succeeded, and hopefully they won't if the community stands up to support this in a city where there is no winter shelter to speak of, and people are creating their own shelter. And criminally, the city is taking steps to stop them, at least according to Martine Bernal. You're going to be hearing more about that shortly as well.
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs. They simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't.
So let's begin with some of the early recordings I made the first day that at least I was informed that the Ross Camp was opened. I approached from the Felker Street side of the river across the pedestrian bridge, walking toward the Ross Shopping Center, as it's called. And I could see, well, you'll hear me talking about what I can see as I cross the bridge. So it's around a little after 9:30 or a little before 9:30 on November 10th. And I'm crossing the pedestrian bridge, a little out of breath, to the Ross Camp. Morning. From where I've parked near Brent's day-night storage, after I spoke with Keith McHenry on the phone and heard there's a couple of tents being set up, either looks like it's in the Ross Camp. I see some people inside. Looks like hoeing the ground or raking the ground. And someone in the yellow vest there. I see a police car, station wagon, a couple of police officers. Looks like Keith McHenry is there, looking at his cell phone, iPod, as usual.
Now, the entire Ross Camp, former Ross Camp space, was fenced off, and the entire ground covered with wood chips in piles, kind of like little mounds. And the gate was open as I arrived, and that was kind of the scene. And here's some of the dialogue coming up.
And here come the comes the ranger patrol. Now, three rangers in green, or police, previously rangers, ranger adjunct.
Andy Mills Police Department now kind of runs a section of the rangers as sort of enforcement officers. To me, this is kind of abusive. It takes away from the real original mission of the rangers, which is to, you know, assist the parks, not to serve as a sort of a goon squad for running off homeless folks and intimidating homeless folks and poor people from being in the parks after dark and so forth.
So I'm, and Wes is here from Salinas, videoing the whole thing.
And Wes, as regular listeners know, is a Santa Cruz union, well, I should say Salinas Union of the Homeless activist, part of the National Union of the Homeless, who has been himself involved in setting up a campground that lasted for 6 months right on the very property of City Hall at night. He would break it down during the day and store it in his vehicle, and then 20 people would come back and sleep there at night after he was successful with Attorney Anthony Prince in overturning an anti-camping law that the anti-homeless Salinas City Council had voted. He was eventually outflanked by the council, which voted a new law, which removed the entire campground from the City Hall premises. But the campground was very neatly run. There was never any complaints about it that I heard about. I'm sure that a number of people didn't like it, probably did complain. But in terms of actual real health and safety complaints, I heard none. Folks afterward moved to the nearby Chinatown area, which is a street, Soledad Street, where people still are now camped in somewhat sordid clusters on the sidewalk. Sordid meaning it's pretty wretched, facilities are poor, people are crowded. It's your standard sidewalk campsite, which doesn't get the kind of facilities it needs to get, and which apparently the Phoenix Camp, now in its fourth or fifth day, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I guess it's its fifth day, is getting from the people in the community, not from the city, not from the county, but from the people of this community and from the homeless activists and homeless people who are there and those who are supporting it from without.
And here's Dredd. Morning, Dredd. Morning, guys.
And Dredd is a cameraman who comes with Wes White from Salinas, who does a lot of videoing, taking lots of photos. I haven't seen much of his stuff online, but that's probably because I don't know where to look. But if you want to find Wes White's videos, you can go to John Doe13K, those two words, John and then Doe13K, on YouTube, and you'll find lots of his stuff. Some of it from Santa Cruz. He spends a lot of time over here, and also some of it covering state and national homeless issues, as well as other issues as well.
Good morning, Officer Forbes.
Sergeant Forbes.
How are you?
Yeah. Up early.
Up early? It's not that early. You had an extra hour with this rolling book clock box.
That's true.
And, you know, looks like you're at least a cup of coffee in you. Looking ready to go.
Ready to stay.
Mm-hmm. I guess we will see, huh?
We will see.
We'll hopefully
see.
You will agree.
Right now, there's no health and safety violations, so this is a stand-your-ground survival camp.
And that's the voice of Alicia Cool, who I mentioned earlier, who in essence was telling the police they had no right to go in at this time because this was a Santa Cruz Union-sanctioned campground, that it was legal under the Martin versus Boise decision, that the police have no authority to come after people. And in a way, this was backed up by Chief Mills later, although in a certain other way, it's become a matter of dispute Well, I'll be reading you the contrasting statement of City Manager Martine Bernal, but let's hear more of this colloquy with Alicia Cool defending the right of, at this point, it was only, I think, 2 or 3 tents on the property.
Nobody is breaking any laws.
Sounds good.
Thank you, sir. And it's not, I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm trying to keep people alive this winter. Heart to heart, I mean that.
I don't have a dog in this fight.
So thank you.
Why do you start getting called to deal with what we're dealing with?
I'll make sure that your calls are a minimum. I am here to make sure that this runs smoothly and that no one gets hurt and that this is a health and safety survival camp.
You have an impossible job. Good luck.
Thank you. With more support, you know, it'd be
easier. You have an impossible job if you think that you
somebody's got to step up to try to save and help people, though. Somebody has to do it.
Yeah. Good luck to you.
We have a total of five police officers here, either rangers or blue-clad police, and inside the Ross camp there we have Lucero, who's, I don't know, raking the piles of leaves. We have Angel behind the fence. How's the weather over there, Angel?
Oh, the weather on this side, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
And I see you're live streaming or just videoing?
No, I'm just recording the interactions with Santa Cruz PD and Sheriff. And
they're also leaving.
There was one security guard on the scene. Yeah, they left, but they came over here to basically try to, in my opinion, harass us with their psychological tactics. And basically, they told us good luck. And we'll go ahead and take that good luck and strive, and we'll benefit from it, hopefully.
So how many folks are behind the fence now in the former Ross Camp area?
Right now, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, there was 5 and 6, but right now there's only 4 of us, and we're leveling out these wood chips, and we're going to celebrate the reopening of Ross Camp in the memory of Desiree Quintero.
Now, what are these piles? I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 2 dozen piles or a dozen piles of wood chips. Is the city preparing to reopen Ross Camp itself? I mean, wood chips were brought to Ross Camp, 8 or 9 months ago to provide for, against the rain. What's this about?
Well, okay, so here's the thing. They said that they needed to, I guess, quote-unquote, sterilize the ground. And they brought a bunch of piles of these wood chips, just like you were saying.
How long have they been here, do we know?
Well, since Ross Camp was closed down, and that's already been, five months or something?
Since May, yeah.
And a couple of us think that these wood chip piles have just been put here in piles like that, in my opinion, to deter people from coming back here. So what we're doing today is we've got rakes and shovels out here, and we're going to try to level out these chips as much as we can, and so we can get people back in here.
Might also be a nice, softer cover.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And protection, maybe protection against the rain, or sort of a slight comforting quality to it.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Well, we've been talking with...
Angel from the Santa Cruz 11.
Thank you, Angel. From one 11th skir to another.
Right.
We have five basic rules that everybody is agreeing to. We are ordering a porta potty that will be here on, I believe, Monday. And we have an agreement. Everybody really here has agreed that they can manage themselves. It's going to be self-governed with, you know, some management, because we intend to help. But they don't need a nanny, and everybody's kind of agreed that we can do this. As I was telling the officer, it's not fun. Nobody enjoys doing this. This is a survival camp. If we don't have a place for people to be and have their basic needs met this winter, they could die. So nobody's really enjoying this.
Can I take one of these?
Yes, please.
And there's a table set up here which has about four or five piles of literature at the table. In front of the fence, on the fence is a...
Survival camp?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, whose property is this? I'm just curious.
This is a Caltrans public property.
Caltrans public property. That's not new. Is it state property?
My...
Caltrans is probably government property.
Government.
I would guess. I don't know.
You could put a homeless camp up in the government. Is that correct?
Well, I didn't ask permission.
Okay. Oh, atta girl, you're bold. I got you.
I don't have a choice. People need to be kept alive this winter. I've asked permission tons of times, and they just tell me no.
Well, you're going to have to get some crates again and put them up off the ground, because it rained like hell last year, and rats, everything showed up here. It was gnarly.
Well, there's rats at the 1220 River Sanction encampment right now. The lady, I just got her in there 2 days ago, and she said that the rats are eating her dog food. They're all up under her thing. So there's nothing I can do about certain things that might afflict us, no matter what.
River rats are big and gnarly. I live across the street. They come over there.
Yeah, they're everywhere in town. But yeah, as soon as we get the camp organized, we'll bring in pallets and water, and we're going to get a water truck. And
that's the voice of Keith McHenry, who has been instrumental in helping to provide, through Food Not Bombs, a number of the facilities, again, that the city has failed to provide for homeless people since the closing of the Ross camp in May. And, of course, the most obvious of these was the lack of adequate shelter, which homeless activists, myself included, blame the death of Desiree Quintero on that failure, as well as lots of hardships and sickness from other people. In fact, a lawsuit is currently being considered, and I'll be reading about the statement of the Union of the Homeless on that issue, which came out, I guess, yesterday, possibly today.
A bunch of
the police aren't going to interfere again?
No, they won't now. Yeah, they won't anymore. Yeah, because this is an officially sanctioned Santa Cruz Union of the Homeless camp.
Okay, I have one question. It's pretty serious. Are they going to bring all the drugs in again like last time?
No, no.
Because there was a hell of a lot of drugs coming in and out of here.
Yeah, no, we are going to have like a front desk where you sign in, sign out.
Kind of like over yonder?
Yeah, but we manage it. And then we have rules that we're going to post that you can't be using drugs, you know, within like a one block radius of the area. You've got to go away.
Okay, you know, my friend, all I got to say is good luck with that.
If you want to live in here, you're going to, if you want.
I love everybody and I don't want no problems, that's all.
Exactly.
Last time I had my windows broke out 3 times and they stole all my stuff in my trunk.
Not cool.
Yeah.
And then after this place left, nothing happened again.
Okay.
Anyways.
We're trying to develop a different kind of attitude, a new kind of human being, you know.
Excellent.
And that most recent voice is the voice of Wes White. The individual talks about his windows being broken out. You'll hear who he is. He talks a bit about living nearby.
Excellent. I hope it works.
Thank you for your support.
Do you want to say who you are for free radio?
My name's Tony Ryan.
Thank you, Tony.
You're welcome. I'm just giving you my opinion.
Of course. Thank you, Tony.
Have a nice day, you guys.
All right.
Bye-bye.
We're teaching them how to safely or not, so we should be teaching them how to safely. It's been a model that's been proven in Seattle, Portugal, freaking Sweden, where else?
Amsterdam.
We can do better. We know better. We can do better.
We've been talking with
Maggie Holt.
Thank you, Maggie.
Maggie the unicorn.
And you are behind the fence, Maggie.
Yeah.
Inside the area.
I think we did good. We held our ground right there.
Yeah, and there was a good move to put it here because they wanted this moved away. That was great.
Look them dead in the eye as you hand them to them because that man was trying to intimidate you, and I saw that you felt it, but you just... No. Just, yes. Grab that ball.
There's a special bone in my body that doesn't allow for that. I don't know why.
I missed the line in heaven. It was the... freaking filter line. Yeah, that's the one it was.
Do you need help putting your tent
up? Here's the deal. The police admitted it to me one time. I was camping on Cowles Beach. The cop showed up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I was telling him earlier. He came back and apologized to me. He's like, look, we know our system's broke. Something's wrong. Because it's 5 a.m. on a Saturday morning. What homeful person is awake at 5 a.m. on good sleep time?
Right.
Nobody.
Right.
Nobody.
Nobody. No.
But you're over here waking me up.
Yeah.
For what? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I've been calling him out on everything, including that no sleeping thing before. I said, well, so you want people to have psychosis, right?
Right.
Walking around with full on psychosis.
There's people that have been here for 20 years. I have a friend who's been here for 20 years, and they handed her a flyer that says you cannot sleep during these hours.
Yep. Yeah, you're not.
That's the law, sweetheart.
Yeah, that's the law.
Yeah,
right.
It is.
11 p.m. to 8:30 a.m.
I'm telling you, I will put a hammock in front of these people's houses and sleep. I'll take a nap. I don't care.
Screw these people. Yeah. Really?
That's hateful.
And we're on drugs, and that's a problem. Because you want us to be up all night. But okay.
It's
fine.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're counterproductive in all their policy here.
And we're not all on drugs either, and we're different. We're different people, and there's people out here with mental health issues that aren't getting the attention that they deserve. They're getting shoved in jail. You know what I mean?
Grandpas and shit by the post office right now. It's sad.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy. And the way they speak at them, not to them, and the way they talk about them as if they're not standing there, it's not enough.
That's why I talk to them with the exact same respect they show up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on in, the water's fine.
Yeah,
we're working on that.
Rules.
Because we want it to last longer.
Make it so it's not so crazy. We have people that are part of a coalition that are, part of us.
I know.
You know, we're trying to make this work.
I know.
We just got to do something better, and we know better.
And they just got $2 million for
it. The water's fine.
Yeah, we're working on that.
Rules.
Because we want it to last longer.
Make it so it's not so crazy. People that are part of a coalition that are, part of us.
I know.
You know, we're trying to make this work.
I know.
We just got to do something better, and we know better.
And they just got $2 million for it.
Yeah.
They pissed away all the money on employees, and they don't give us nothing around here. I'm tired of that, too.
We want answers.
Holes in the fence, at least one I can see facing the freeway, and another one I'm told concealed by the shade of the old whatever tree of this video journalist's yellow vest is a flyer that says John Doe 13K YouTube, you can't oppress people who are not afraid anymore, media. Did you get up early this morning, media man?
Of course. Every morning, I mean, suffering doesn't stop. So we're constantly on the move.
Who is this questionable woman behind the fence? What is your name, madam?
I'm the sister from Ventura chapter of the California Homeless Union. So Ventura chapter, local 805.
Which is, of course, the area
and
code
for
the phone.
I'm gaining some experience and had to take over Mission Park downtown Ventura.
You're
California.
Getting training here, are you?
Yes, where the bathrooms are, and then they can put the red shirts, the female and the male red shirts stationed right there outside the bathrooms.
Are you going to be the new pastor? Is that the idea?
No, I would not say pastor. I'm just a bitch.
Green pastors, that's for sure.
Michael James tweet. Yet. Just not.
And that's Lucero Luna, and she's got a scarf over her head, Islamic style.
and is chatting with Wes White, who's here from Salinas.
The hole there, and then we're coming through that hole where she's, that tent is, and she just went off to do something, and she'll be back.
Is that Denise?
Hi, Alicia. Name of the woman that's...
Alicia left, too.
I never asked.
And there's a lot more audio, which I may be playing... which I may be playing on Sunday when I have a longer show, but there's probably so much that's going to be happening between now and then. A lot of, you know, new developments are happening every day. The camp, for example, which had two or three tents when I arrived on Sunday, yesterday, on Wednesday in the evening, I think it had somewhere between 30 and 40 tents, maybe more. And somebody, I think, estimated around 60 later that day. I could have these numbers slightly exaggerated, but it's growing exponentially. And, of course, that means what's going to be needed are more campgrounds. And, of course, we've known that for years, those of us who have been watching the situation, those of us who have been experiencing the situation probably even more so, I would assume even more so. And the city's government, of course, is doing everything it can to conceal the issue, to push it out of sight, to punish people for being in Santa Cruz who are poor and visible and outside with such ordinances as the sleeping ban, the blanket ban, and the variety of ordinances that drive people away from the downtown area. But to no avail. Of course, as the rents go up, more and more people end up homeless nationwide, statewide, and specifically citywide. Let's have a musical break.
Somewhere on Spotify you'll find a playlist with most of what I've written, with barely a song missed. Like my first album, which I hawked out on the road, I'd spend earnings on expenses. That's how the money flowed. After just a little while, it became a circular thing. It was a pattern where each year I would sing into a mic in a studio somewhere. And I'm not looking for everything to be perfectly fair. It's nice that it's all free now, but there are days I miss when I could make a living at this. Somewhere on Spotify you'll find the albums that I made from the time the bills stopped being paid by an exchange so simple ever since the days began, when just covering the costs meant first begging from my fans. Spending all this money again in a studio, end up with another album and nothing else to show except a dozen songs on Spotify for me to give away. 6,000 monthly listeners, $7 a day. It's nice that it's all free now, but there are days I miss when I could make a living at this. Somewhere on Spotify you'll find a million people like me, veterans of what was called the indie music industry. You'll find us there, along with all the youth who'd be forgiven for not knowing that it is the truth, that it wasn't long ago folks like me could pay the rent. We didn't need to hop freight trains or live in a tent. There was a little while when the internet seemed cool. Now we all get reamed while big tech rules. It's nice that it's all free now, but there are days I miss when I could make a living at this. Somewhere on Spotify you'll find a playlist.
And that was one of David Rovick's songs for today, which is free, but it would be nice to support him, and I think that's what I'm going to do, or do again, I should say. Name of the song, Somewhere on Spotify. So now let's jump ahead to the next day, Monday. the 11th, Armistice Day, or a Veterans Day, as the military, having seized the day, likes to call it. Here's a noon visit to the Phoenix camp.
It's about 5 after 12 on Armistice Day, November 11th. I'm here at the Desiree Memorial Campground. Frank has crashed out. Frank from the 1220 River Street camp was ousted from there and has some concerns about how that happened, also a member of the Catch Committee. Morning.
Thank you.
And folks are walking by with their bikes. And there's a...
Because the Phoenix camp is located right along the river pathway where bikes regularly ride back and forth. People walk back and forth along the river. And so there's a lot of, fairly good amount of foot traffic. It goes under the freeway bridge to the other side of Highway 1. And then as you proceed along downtown to the other bridges until, of course, you reach the ocean.
An open gate, and Alicia is sitting at a table in a chair at the gate with a sign-up sheet.
And this is actually somebody that
The, I guess it's KION or KSBW is here, as is Wes from Salinas, doing some videoing. And there's also a fellow doing an audio. Alicia is giving the background to the man with the audio. And I count one, two.
And looks like a couple of City Hill reporters came to research the issue, maybe writing about the Phoenix camp in tomorrow's City on a Hill Press, or possibly one down the way. A lot of media coverage of this, of course. Not much of it terribly favorable, but a lot of it dubious. But there's also, of course, a growing acknowledgement, as there has been now at the City Council meeting on Tuesday, that there is a winter shelter crisis, something that has been blatantly ignored by the City Council, apparently well stuffed with the fantasies of Susie O'Hara, the assistant city manager, that there is either adequate shelter for all or there will be, or it's just a matter of people who are service resistant, or, well, there's all kinds of vacancies if people want them, and so forth. Lots of fairy tales are being spread, or very, very wildly hopeful expectations that have nothing to do with the real conditions of people outside. Perhaps you couldn't expect those of us who are indoors to really understand what's going on outside because we don't live there. But people are getting paid hefty salaries instead of that money going to the people outside. Well, that becomes kind of an obscenity.
Two, three, five tents. Maybe a couple hidden off in the distance. It's at least, no? Well, yeah, five tents. At least three more than yesterday now. Six, seven tents, if you count two that are sort of distantly placed. Alicia talking to this fellow who was recording her.
Are there still a lot of people out in the woods, like Desiree was camping?
Yeah. A lot. There's females camping right near Desiree's old campground, and, you know, they're at risk too.
Yeah.
They're at risk right now.
And for those who haven't been keeping up on this, Desiree Quintero, who was one of the lead plaintiffs who were forced out of Ross Camp, trying to stop the Ross Camp from being closed last May, died some weeks ago when a tree fell because of the high winds when she was trying to assist people in a nearby campsite, going to check on them, see how they were doing. And she died in what the Union of the Homeless General Counsel Anthony Prince, I believe he is suggesting that this is a negligent death. And in fact, I'm going to be, why don't I read a little bit about that right now? So here's a statement from the California Homeless Union dated November 13th. There's a quote from Desiree Quintero. "This cause is a great cause, and we're tired of being treated like dirt. We're not. We're human beings. We bleed just like you, and we're good people. We need a safe place, and this is a safe place right here." And she was talking about the Ross Camp, which is now the same site of the Phoenix Camp. "The California Homeless Union is deeply saddened and angered by the completely avoidable death on October 27, 2019 of Desiree Quintero, 55, a former firefighter and a founding member and officer of the Santa Cruz Homeless Union, who was pushed into the woods and died after the city closed Ross Camp. It says unavoidable death, but I think they mean avoidable death. To all those who knew and loved Mama Desi, we offer our deepest condolence. Union legal counsel has been retained by Desiree's son, Marcos Quintero, in order to prepare and file a wrongful death lawsuit and pursue all available legal claims against the city of Santa Cruz. City Manager Martin Bernal, Chief of Police Andrew Mills, Take Back Santa Cruz, the organization, and other individuals and entities known and unknown whose actions and omissions led to this needless tragedy. On the day she died, Desiree was checking on the well-being of other homeless in Poconip Park as the Diablo winds intensified during the early morning hours of October 27, 2019. She was crushed when a tree collapsed on her and other homeless campers. Thus, in a very real sense, our strong, beloved sister and leader became the first of our union officers killed in the line of duty. We, the officers and members of the Santa Cruz Homeless Union and California Homeless Union Statewide Organizing Council, hold the City of Santa Cruz, its City Council majority, the offices of the City Manager, and the Chief of Police fully responsible for the tragic death of Desiree Quintero, founder of the Ross Camp Council, who became an officer of the Santa Cruz chapter of the California Homeless Union. Responsibility must also extend to Take Back Santa Cruz and other anti-homeless hate groups for creating a climate of hysteria and fear of the homeless, including allowing direct solicitations for murder and arson against homeless people to appear on their website. Desiree was the lead named plaintiff in the case of Quintero versus City of Santa Cruz, the federal lawsuit that she inspired, filed on behalf of hundreds of homeless residents of the original Ross Camp. When the court refused to intervene and halt the destruction of the camp, and the city failed to provide safe, actually available alternative shelter, Desiree was forced into the Poconip along with dozens of others. Aware that the homeless faced risk as the Diablo winds intensified, the city compounded its negligence by failing to warn or otherwise protect those it knowingly pushed into this known danger. The City of Santa Cruz was also aware that Desiree and other Ross Camp homeless suffered from post-traumatic stress, and for that reason was unable to go to any of the facilities that the city falsely claimed were available to those ejected from the Ross Camp. Moreover, on the day that the Ross Camp was closed, Assistant City Manager Susie O'Hara was witnessed refusing Desiree's request for a two-day hotel voucher. From there, Desiree went to the Poconip and ultimately to her death. Like dozens of other homeless women, Desiree found safety in the Ross Camp community, a fact repeatedly emphasized by witness after witness in a two-day federal court hearing before District Court Judge Edward Davila. Like so many others, Desiree feared and bravely resisted the city's ill-conceived, fraudulent, and ultimately perjurious campaign to misrepresent the conditions in Ross Camp. Unfortunately, Judge Davila accepted the false assurances by Assistant City Manager Susie O'Hara regarding alternate shelter and denied the homeless plaintiff's request for a preliminary injunction. In the weeks leading up to the destruction of Ross Camp, the city and its police chief undertook a concerted campaign of intimidation, fear-mongering, and hostility directed against the homeless generally and to the residents of Ross Camp in particular. At the same time, the city, through its agencies, including the fire department and city manager's office, made a number of representations and commitments to the Ross Camp Council to the effect that whatever problems may have existed in the camp could be and would be remedied without the necessity of disbanding the camp altogether. Reasonably relying on these representations only to be betrayed, the Ross Camp residents were essentially the victims of a deliberate fraud perpetrated by the defendant, City of Santa Cruz. State-created danger. During the federal court hearing, Ross Camp residents argued that under the state-created danger doctrine, the City of Santa Cruz would be liable for increasing the risk of harm to those evicted from the relative safety of Ross Camp and denied accessible and safe alternative indoor shelter, as required by law. The union is in the process of acquiring and intends to make public the full transcript of the federal court hearing, as well as the state court hearing on the city's ex parte application for a nuisance abatement. That was the city's attempt to declare that suddenly the Ross Camp was a big nuisance, and therefore it would be much better for all these people to just go off in the woods and disappear, and of course, ultimately for some of them to die. Although I'm sure they wouldn't be putting it that way. The Union of the Homeless statement continues, these transcripts will enable the public to see how the city misled both courts and how credible witnesses provided compelling evidence that Ross Camp residents faced imminent, irreparable harm in the absence of a preliminary injunction that would have allowed Ross Camp to continue to remain open. I added that phrase, but that's what it means. Tragically, but not unpredictably, that risk became a fatal reality for Desiree Quintero, who, absent the city's actions, would have been in the company of the Ross Camp community instead of crushed beneath a fallen tree. The grief and outrage we feel at the death of Desiree Quintero is being echoed across the Californian nation. The California Homeless Union, part of the committee to reestablish the National Union, is already mobilizing awareness on this issue. And a press release issued by the California Homeless Union the next day says that family of deceased Ross Camp organizer Desiree Quintero retains a lawyer to plan for a wrongful death lawsuit against the city. And that apparently was actually done. And that lawyer is the same Anthony Prince who helped file the lawsuit with the defendants before, although it was, I should say, the plaintiffs before from the Ross Camp, who held off the city for a week and are now setting up a second campground that will be more closely managed, more strongly supported, with more legal backing, and badly needed as winter descends. Additionally, the press release writes, the union denounced the city's plan announced yesterday to hire two homelessness czars to be paid over $100,000 each. That's a complete waste of money, says Cool. There's supposed to be a shelter emergency, and there are plenty of city-owned and city-controlled buildings and properties that can be used right now to keep people warm, dry, and alive. The union is planning a solidarity day at Camp Phoenix this Saturday, November 16th, that's day after tomorrow, at 10:30 a.m. We call on the community to come out and support us. Remember, most of us are one paycheck, one missed rent, one medical emergency away from homelessness. 10:30 on Saturday. Check them out. There's also a story in the Santa Cruz Urinal, which calls itself the Santa Cruz Sentinel, which actually, maybe it's better than usual. It's by the woman who often, she's been kind of assigned to cover or chosen to cover the homelessness pretensions of the city and responses of the homeless community, Jessica York. The story is titled, Santa Cruz Seeks Additional City Winter Homeless Options, Steps Prompted by Unsanctioned Reopening of Shuttered Ross Camp. So what in essence she's actually acknowledging is that the city wouldn't do shit unless homeless folks and activists forced them to. And this is what I've always told skeptics like Brent Adams, who believes, you know, that it's antagonizing and alienating to the middle class and unproductive to engage in protests. And he's based this on, to some extent, his own hard experiences with the Santa Cruz 11. I've had similar experiences, and also with other activists and the homeless movement in Santa Cruz, which he believes simply immiserates the situation for homeless people by focusing police attention on them more. But in fact, this latest action is sort of a combination of protest and the resources, providing resources the city is unwilling to give by setting them up themselves, homeless folks and the California Homeless Union and Food Not Bombs and HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, out there in this vacant, unused space that is sitting right next to Highway 1. It's obviously not the best space. People can run by and, you know, toss beer cans, shouts, screams, do all kinds of weird things as they reportedly did during the Ross Camp days. But you go where you can until there are better places to go. And that has prompted the city, the city council meeting, to talk about, of course, they've been talking about it for years, talk more about, I guess on the next city council agenda coming up in 2 weeks, Drew Glover was able to get the issue of the Civic Auditorium, opening up the Civic Auditorium, at least to discuss opening up the Civic Auditorium as an indoor space. That's an obviously vacant area. The other obvious place is the arena, the great tent out with, used by all those sports fans out there downtown, with all kinds of bathrooms and showers lying unused as well. We're going to hear about that probably from some commentary at the Red Church, which happens on Monday, every Monday at the Calvary Episcopal Church at Cedar and Lincoln Streets at 6 o'clock. York's story talks about the homelessness response manager, that's the czar, with an annual salary of $104,000 to $140,000, to focus exclusively on homelessness response policy, sort of in the way that Susie O'Hara has been focusing a lot on the issue and giving false information to the community and to the city council regarding the availability and accessibility of shelter, and essentially misleading homeless people directly by claiming shelters will be open and then suddenly they're being closed, encouraging the notion that of all the many hundreds and hundreds of properties around town, only three or six can be used, and that didn't include this camp, this piece of property out near the freeway, formerly the Ross Camp, now the Phoenix Camp, which homeless people just decided to use, which of course they do anyway, but usually they're in small groups, they're separated from each other, they don't have coordinated community support. This time, things may well be different because as began to happen at Ross Camp when people came to support it, this is a place where there can be support mobilized and where it's very visible and where the city is under a searchlight here as to what it does. And in fact, the police chief and the fire chief have backed off. I'm going to read their statements now. So to begin with, here's a statement by Chief Andy Mills, which was sent to Keith McHenry of Food Not Bombs, who on Monday provided two porta-potties, one for disabled people, apparently the only one in the city, the only disabled porta-potty in the city for homeless people, I've been told, and then the second ordinary porta-potty with the washing stations attached to the Phoenix Camp. Chief Mills' response, Santa Cruz Police Department is investigating the cutting of the fence on the Caltran property behind Ross's. No one is throwing their hands up but seeking real solutions. We wrote 11K tickets, that's 11,000 tickets, 8,700 homeless. Of those, 92% of those ticketed failed to appear. Pure effectiveness. The ones who did appear, the fines were waived for the most part. This is Mills apparently talking to a critic, which has gotten sent to Food Not Bombs somehow. I'm aware of the attempt to reestablish a place for homeless to sleep behind the Ross store. I have spoken to the city attorney over the weekend, and we agree there are currently no tools that we are aware of to deal effectively with this situation. As you may know, the city council removed the anti-camping law based on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals decision in Martin v. Boise. It is on appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court. The original abatement was based on public health hazards. Those hazards have been abated. We are and will enforce all laws that are currently enforceable. This is extremely frustrating for citizens, the police, and the homeless. I'd say probably less so for the homeless. Definitely less so. Until there is a law in place that allows enforcement of camping and a place for people to go, we will continue to have problems. That is to say, problems driving homeless people away and out of sight. The greater problem is far beyond the scope of the city. We also really need the county and state to provide services to the mentally ill and drug addicted and compel those in need to use those services rather than empower them. So people are going to be forced into treatment. This is going to be a good approach. Some people think this is true. I've heard this said, but I don't buy it yet. I'd like to see some more data on this rather than this so-called, I don't call it tough love. I just call it kind of police state tactics. We appreciate your concern and seek your voice in support of remedying the unfortunate situation, Andy Mills. So that seems to be saying and seems to be giving the folks some hope, and also the behavior of Mills, who came out to the camp, and Deputy Chief Martinez and Lieutenant Flippo, or maybe he's Deputy Chief now, I'm not sure, who essentially walked around and said, you know, they had no problem, and they left. or if they had a problem, they certainly didn't pull out their ticket books or start arresting people and so forth. And indeed, homeless people and activists are taking a very strong stance. I mean, Alicia Cool held off these police officers originally. It wasn't the chief, it was some of the underlings, said, don't come in here, this is a sanctioned campground. And sanction, of course, means sanction from the Union of the Homeless, given the fact that the city has no accessible shelter. That we're finding our own shelter, and that's what we're using. Stay away from us. Martin versus Boise decision says, don't go after us unless you have some place to actually offer. And you don't. And don't pretend anymore that you do. However, even though Mills seems to be saying, well, we can't help, we can't do anything to get rid of these damn troublesome homeless people, yet on November 11th, and this was some days after I saw this statement from Mills, this came out from the, I guess it came from the city manager through Ralph, the public relations officer of the city. I'm not quite sure what his position is. He's a new principal analyst, previously done by Susie O'Hara, of course. The city of Santa Cruz has not authorized any form of shelter campsite at the Gateway Plaza, a location others have referred to as the Ross Camp. Note that not authorized does not mean forbidden or declared illegal. But this is, again, in response to people who feel that homeless people have no right to be anywhere except far away from their homes. We are actively reaching out to those, Bernal's statement continues, to those camping at this site to offer safe alternative places for them to stay. I have not heard one report of anybody offered an alternative to place to stay who are at this campsite. I begin very interesting, and I will be asking Alicia Cool, who goes out there daily and spends hours out there, what she has found out. There are two alternative sanctioned sites in the city that offer safe places for those who are experiencing homelessness, and both of these sites have current vacancies and are operated by the Salvation Army. That's what they're talking about here is 1220 River Street Encampment, which has six vacancies per month, according to Eric Snickars, the assistant or the actual executive director out there. And the, I guess it's the Laurel Street Salvation Army overnight shelter, which Keith McHenry reports whenever he tries to send someone there, calls them up, they claim they're full. So there's different accounts of whether there actually are vacancies at these places. Consistent with all laws, Bernal's statement continues, city manager, most important, most powerful, and so in a way most cruel official in the city, we will be proceeding with our standard operating procedure as appropriate for vacating the campsite and will make all possible efforts to prevent an unsanctioned camp from forming at the Gateway Plaza location to protect the public, but of course not the homeless public, and the individuals camping there. Oh. By pretending you have some place for them to go and driving them into the bushes again, huh? The city was forced to close the previous unsanctioned camp at this location due to significant health and public safety issues. And that's, of course, because they refused to keep their word to help establish fire lanes in the campsite and establish secondary camping areas. I don't think they promised that, but that's what was needed. And various other issues where they were supposed to help clean up the area without displacing them, but never did. We are monitoring the situation closely and will respond appropriately to avoid a similar situation from occurring again. In addition to revisiting the tools our city has to prevent unsafe and unhealthy conditions from occurring, we will also continue to work with the county and state to ensure that that individuals living unsheltered have a safe place to stay and just the support they need to get back on their feet. Yeah. This is the kind of double talk and political balderdash that is amusing and familiar, but not very funny if you're outside freezing, or if you're pregnant and outside, or if you're victimized and outside, or if you believe some of the things that these city officials are telling you about shelter and then find there is none, or that you have to leave in the morning at 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning and find that the possessions that you couldn't take into the shelter with you have all been stolen or dispersed or confiscated by police. So, let's take a musical break, because they're a pretty heavy topic.
Harris was elected, like every time he ran. When his socialists took power, that's when the changes began. The opposition started attacking every forward move, but reforms went ahead, the people's welfare improved. A land of such riches that had always gone to so few was reaching places ignored since 1492 in Venezuela. Into the streets to stop the coup back then. They got the man that they elected back into power again. The Bolivarian Revolution became famous worldwide. Soon other socialist governments swept in a red tide. Between the Cuban doctors and the Venezuelan oil, millions got medical care, millions tilled the soil of Venezuela. Began the sanctions, Obama imposed more, a slow-burning, destabilizing economic war. Following the formula of the Chicago Boys team, used in many places to make economies scream. Oil prices plummeted, foreign holdings locked, invasions being planned, negotiations blocked in Venezuela. Revolution to Venezuela today, from the Seminoles to Salvador Allende. Look at their ankles, you'll see the chains. Imperial vampires, open veins. Those who stand up to the business elite, who cannot stand to see the workers in the driver's seat in Venezuela.
Well, I don't know if I'd say the workers are in the driver's seat in Venezuela. Even when Chavez was in power, I wouldn't necessarily say that either, but more so than previously, and probably more so than now with all these huge U.S. sanctions and, of course, the coup in Bolivia, the military coup that happened a few days ago and drove out Morales, who had a number of problems, and I wasn't necessarily an uncritical fan of his either. Makes the situation worse, and looks like it. Sticky fingers of the U.S. are certainly, well, they're applauding, if not involved and directly supportive. You're tuned to the stream of Free Radio Santa Cruz at freakradio.org. I'm Robert Norris, and if you want to reach me, you can give me a call at 831-423-4833. Welcome any news blurbs, thoughts about what you've heard, corrections about anything I'm saying, and like that.